and think biblically. Okay? And so you have the Ten Commandments. Okay? And on the first half of the Ten Commandments, those commandments have to do with our responsibility to who? God. The second half have to do with our responsibility to who? Men. Okay? So, we see in the second half, we see that there are some commandments that obviously the penalty is for that sin is significantly different than the penalty for other sins. Is that a mistake? It's not a mistake. All right? Now what we need to do, we always need to realize that that the Bible is the revelation of God's truth. So there is a revelation of truth that we would not otherwise have. We wouldn't think this way unless the Bible said so. Okay? It doesn't come natural. Right? All right? So the Bible is for helping us to think correctly. Okay? And so we have three sins that have the death penalty. Right? And the second half, what are they? Rebelling against parents? Third one? Adultery. Okay. So, that's pretty serious, isn't it? So we ask ourselves, is this how we think? That's how we should think. But is that how we think? So, in our society, adultery is called an affair. It's like getting the best and the richest gift at Boston store. And you go from one to the other if you can. Only the best get them. That's what our society says, right? Murder can't be too bad. Most video games and most TV, most movies, most TV games are full of it, right? Let me ask you a question. Okay, how many people, and I'm talking about, let's eliminate the military right now, but how many people in real life have seen someone murder someone? One person. Seen it happen. Anybody here seen it happen? Okay, close, but did you ever see it happen? Okay, saw the result of it. Okay, huh, interesting. A lot of people, first generation Christians here too. How many murders can you see in an hour on TV? I mean, I don't mean see them dead. I mean, see it really happen. How many? I don't know. Lots and lots. Lots and lots. Wow. Isn't that something? You think about that? Nobody here has seen one in real life, and yet a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old can turn on the TV and see how many in a night. And if you watch movies, I don't go to movies. I don't watch movies. But, you know, on the airplane, they're always everywhere. You glance, and, you know, you see all these, you know, you try not to look, but there's someone getting murdered all the time.
Huh. Here's another question. How many people in this room have seen somebody have family devotions versus seen that on TV?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Thomas says, how many people have seen families have family devotions on TV? How many have ever seen that? Oh, okay. Okay. I guess that would count. But the reality is, I don't think you ever see it in a Hollywood movie. You know, Hollywood movies must have gotten better. Do you know that? I think they have. They must really be getting really out better because, you know, in the 30s, you know, they were ungodly. And, you know, Christians didn't watch the movies in the 30s. They were wicked. I mean, they were wicked. But you know what? They must have gotten a lot better. Because I think the percentage of Christians that go to movies is probably about 90%. Maybe 95%. Maybe 98%. I think they must have gotten a lot better. Right? No. Okay, here's someone that's been alive for a while. Okay? Now, you think, what we're doing is we're talking about thinking here. You know, I am convinced the average believer today doesn't do much thinking. And I remember, I've only read one book about the megachurch. I read one. And I remember reading it, and it says, people do not want, the mega church are based on the idea that people don't want to go to church to get conviction or to have their thinking challenged. They want to feel good. No matter where they are in life, they want to feel good. That's the purpose of church today.
That's the educational system too, though.
Yeah. Same thing.
It's not about facts, it's about feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder what it feels like to be a monkey. I always say public school kids, they can't take an apple to their teacher. They got to take a banana. Okay. I know you didn't mean to say that funny, but okay. So. Murder, adultery, rebellion against parents. Hey, you know what? It's against the law in a lot of places to spank your children. What does that tell us about what our world thinks about rebellion against parents? I mean, we're talking about a world that's 100% upside down. Wow. Think of the UN Charter. Yeah, rights of the child. Okay. Scott?
I don't watch movies either, but I bet you anything, if they don't show parents spanking their kids on movies, they're not going to show them murdering somebody.
Yeah. Well, if they show them spanking their kids, it's somebody that's beating them up and angry and whatever, right? Abuse, yeah, yeah. They don't teach us. Okay, so now we talked about the other things. Talked about what the Bible said about stealing last week. That a person who would steal something from someone and sell it or kill it like an oxen, what'd they have to do? Fivefold. That solved the jail system, wouldn't it? Make these people work until they pay off what they wrecked. That solved the problem, wouldn't it? Yeah, I'm part of a cemetery in Delafield, a Welsh cemetery my family is, and some kids wrecked tombstones. And one kid had a guilty conscience and confessed, and the other two didn't like it. And this one girl, it was about witchcraft in a cemetery, and I think she went to jail and we got a check for about $5. I'm sure it cost the system about $10,000 just to prosecute the person. Anyway, so, and then we have lying. That works. You know that? I was talking to someone. I don't know if this guy is saved. He said he was saved, and he got a girlfriend. And he took the girlfriend to church, and he told his girlfriend, "Now the pastor's going to ask you if you're saved. Tell him that you're saved." Lie to the pastor. Whoa! Can you imagine that? Grant Rice said, people lie to pastors more than any other person on the earth. Yeah. And you know what? In some cases, the nicer they are, the more they lie. Yeah. I remember guys telling churches down south, and they would say, "We're going to start a church," and everybody they talk, "Oh, I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll be there." They weren't there. Okay, so, and then we have covetousness. You know, an auction is based on two people wanting the same thing. You know, an auction is based on two people wanting the same thing. Huh? In this case, no. But I wasn't there for this part, but they had this piece of iron that used to be, I don't know, some kind of skid steer. It had no wheels on it. And, I mean, it looked like just a piece of iron to me. And it was just sitting there. And now they had a lot of people there, probably about 300 buyers. And I thought, you know, that's just iron. You know, you can imagine what you'd have to do to make that run, you know. And they said it sold for $2,000. Now, there was two people that wanted it. And one wanted it more than the other. And he was willing to pay an astronomical price for something that he wanted. Right? Interesting. Anyway, that's off the subject here. Okay, but we see penalties. Now, the Bible says that in the New Testament, covetousness is idolatry. That's pretty serious. And so we have, how about on God's side? No other gods. No images. The Sabbath. The name of the Lord. What's the penalty for those? No. When it says they will be cut off from Israel, that means death. Pretty serious. Now, let's get thank the Lord we're not on the Old Testament dispensation. There wouldn't be too many people around, would there? Okay? But the issue is, okay, what's the penalty? What's the penalty? Now, again, what we're talking about is that the Bible is to give us insight into how a holy God thinks. And what is holiness? What is righteousness? What is right thinking? Right? Now, we are surrounded by what kind of thinking? Unbiblical thinking, aren't we? It's really godless thinking. Okay? You know, one of my kids, we were talking generally, and they says, you know, there are people, kids at school or at church, they say, Pastor, well, what's wrong with movies? You know, I think we're talking about Walt Disney. What's wrong with Walt Disney? What's wrong with Walt Disney? I mean, why are you against Walt Disney? The thinking is all wrong. The thinking is all wrong. Okay? I don't remember. I remember the title, Old Yeller. Or Lassie Come Home. Oh, man, that's certainly wonderful. You can't say there's something wrong with that. Oh, really? Where was God in it? Was God in there? Was God in there? Is there any such thing as life without God? Does life exist without God? Does that movie exist without acknowledging God? Does it acknowledge God? No. So what is it? Big, fat lie. Big, fat lie. Oh, life is so great. You know, I remember as an unsaved kid thinking, oh man, I wish I had a collie. I mean, that must be happiness. Have a collie like Lassie. Is that happiness? No. Okay, so they have this wonderful family. I don't know, don't remember. I don't have that good memory. But did they have family devotions? They didn't have family devotions. Oh, this is a wonderful family film. Oh, they didn't have family devotions. They don't talk about God. Huh. Bible says, I'm just kind of being sarcastic now, you know that. Except a man be born again and cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh, they talk about people getting born again. They talk about people being dead in sin. No. It's a lie. And you know what? People believe it. I believed it when I was a little kid. I wanted a collie. My mom was allergic to dogs, so I couldn't have a dog. But I wanted a collie. I thought, boy, that's really great. It's give this romantic view of life. Oh. Yes.
I don't know if anybody has seen here the movie that went wrong called The Time Changer. And what it was,
it's not a movie, it's a film.
A film, okay.
It's a video.
Okay. Well, this woman that was a librarian that really hit me, she said, in the early days, it was always here that the evil people, they lost. But she said here, Satan, though, won the battle because the name of Jesus was never mentioned. Morality was held high. And that's okay for Satan as long as Christ is mentioned.
Okay, yeah, the first half of the Ten Commandments, eliminate it. Okay? So, if you swore using God's name, what happened? They pat you on the finger? Yeah, stoned you. But just think about it. I don't want to be overly, painting a portrait. But the Bible Belt, so-called. The Bible Belt is full of minced oaths. Anybody know what a minced oath is? Anybody know what a minced oath is? A substitute word for God. What is, go get your Webster's Dictionary, what does G-E-E mean? Jesus. What does G-O-L-L-Y a substitute for? G-O-D. Yeah, okay. Thank, G-O-O-D-N-E-S-S. What is that a substitute for? G-O-D. Do you think that reveals a reverence for the name of God? Do you think so? That's not good. That's not good. The fact is, I grew up in an unsaved home, and you didn't use those words. Use the real ones. And then you go to Christian college, and then they use the substitute words. I didn't know where those words came from, but they're substitute words. But what does it tell us about the sacredness of the name of the Lord? It tells us something. What does it tell us? It tells us, and I don't hope to offend anybody, but the fact is, it is telling us that that our thinking isn't right. Okay? Now, let me ask you a question. Now, this is just my opinion, but if you got you got this rock beat and the noise of the music that isn't any different than if you would go to the disco. Go to past the disco on the way to church, and the sound coming out of disco is the same coming out of the church. Okay? Because when you're outside disco, you don't hear any words, do you? You just hear the sound, right? So you hear the same sound coming out of the church. What does that tell you about people's concept of God. Okay? Our concept of God is revealed by what? His what? Name. Right? And there is a very low view of God. Okay? You know, a person's name. You know, you go somewhere and you say, Ron Roberts. Well, boy, someone's going to have an opinion. Yep. They're going to have an opinion. They're going to say something. Yep. The name, right? And now we could go to the other whole aspect, okay? I mean, images. I guess we don't really have to go there, but, you know, just think of most of the major brands of Christianity have images. And it's okay. That's pretty scary that people can think that mixed up, right? And call it Christian. And I think that we're right there with the Lord's Day today. Lord's Day is nothing. Lord's Day is nothing. It's nothing. It's the day of, you know, it's the day to do everything else that you didn't get done. Right? That's what the Lord's Day is. And I'm not talking about the world, it's the Christians. I tell you why the mega church doesn't have church Sunday night. I tell you one reason why they don't have church Sunday night. They don't have time. They don't have time for church. Mike. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's pretty important. You know? You remember National Football League used to be on Saturday. Anybody old enough to remember that? Okay, there's a couple of us. Boy, used to be on Saturday. You know why? Sunday was the Lord's Day. But you know, we don't think that way. Okay, now, this is where I want to go. Okay, we're talking about defilement, right? Right? Talking about defilement. Okay, so we say that sin has the ability to defile us. Okay? What is the greatest defilement of sin? Well, there's a lot of things. Defiles the mind. Defiles the will. It defiles the affections. Now, we can comprehend probably more these sins against man as their defilement. But in my soul, it seems to me that we have a harder time comprehending that there's any defilement about sins against God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Doesn't that seem more distant to our thinking? Yeah, I think it is. I think it's harder to comprehend. And yet in God's sight, boy, this is pretty serious. You know, here's this guy that purposely, willfully is going out there, you know, and gathering sticks. Well, you know, we don't think like that. You know, if you go to Africa, why do they gather sticks? I mean, that's a major job in life. And you know, people gather sticks for a living. You know that? I didn't show the picture, but pictures in Africa. And, of course, in Africa, they have a pretty good system. No, really. If you see people gathering sticks and carrying them, it's usually not a man. Usually you will see a woman, you know, a big bundle on her head and maybe carrying two bundles with her hands, and then the man walking alongside of her with nothing. But, so there is a defilement, okay? Does something happen to a person's conscience? Okay? Does there something happen to a person's conscience? That's even in here. Does it happen to somebody's conscience? Now, Lydia Bird was telling me that the hospital, they had this inmate that they had to check out, and he went berserko. And every other word he said was a swear word. Now, I tell you what. How can people talk like that? I mean, there's a defilement that takes place, right? There's a defilement. And I think that it's very... I think there's a defilement. I know. There's a defilement that takes place when someone worships God with what's called CCM music. There's a defilement. And you know what? It's just like the adulterous woman wiped their mouth and they said, I've done no wrong. Talk to them. Are they doing anything wrong? Not a thing. I won't get off on this, but just this week I took my Bible class, and I showed them a video. I showed them a video of, and we talked about the sound of music, okay? Not the movie, okay? The sound of music. And I took them to a well-known church that uses CCM music. And they had a video clip of this church playing the adapted CCM music. Okay? They didn't have the drums, and they didn't have the holy smoke, and they didn't have the purple lights. And then right in the middle of it, they flash it over to this same song being sung in a CCM church with all the, you know, the strobe lights and the smoke and, you know, all of the other stuff, you know. And you know, if you would close your eyes, you wouldn't know that you were transferring from one to the other. Because the sound was exactly the same. Okay? Now, I didn't really mean to get on this, but you know why the sound is exactly the same? I'm a music ignoramus, okay? Okay? But the sound is the same because they use the same mixture of chords. And this could be right, this could be wrong, you know, but I hear that there are chord progressions or whatever. 1, 4, and 5. Okay? And that all CCM music has the same chord progression. You know, that's not an accident. You know, if you use the same chord progressions, it's going to have the same sound. And that's very tough to figure that out. Not too tough to figure that out. I'm going to try to say this nicely because maybe I offend somebody. But you know, Ron Hamilton music, it all sounds the same. It doesn't matter if it's song one, number one, or song number 500. Go to a room where it's being sung and it all sounds the same. Why? Because it all uses the same kind of structure. And so it all sounds the same. And one of the things that Ron Hamilton music is full of is called dissonance. And that's some kind of conflict in music. Like I said, music, ignoramus. And once in a while, it's okay. But Ron Hamilton music is full of dissonance. And I asked a music expert once, what happens with when you have a lot of dissonance? Most of these Christian experts weren't willing to face the issue. But Mr. Eby, he said, when you have lots of dissonance, it produces a fleshly, feminine, sensual sound. You know, the sound of music isn't an accident. It is a picture. And the duty of a Christian is to rightly picture God. We're not to take His name in vain. On the other hand, we're to sing to His glory, which means to give people a right opinion of who He is. Now, going into kind of this detail again to say, you know what? The thinking of Christians is all mixed up today. Because we don't think how sacred it is, the name of God. Do we think that way? I know we don't. We don't think that way. You know, and really it's because we are in this day of mercy, and just because God doesn't strike someone dead, you know, when they blaspheme God's name, it must be okay. But that's not why the Bible is written. The Bible is written to say, hey, this is very important. Okay? Now, so, our first point is there are different degrees of the defilement of sin. And I guess where I started from is that, yeah, there's different degrees of defilement of sin. Man, there's 10 commandments. And those 10 commandments give us a layer, doesn't it? a layer of thinking and of seriousness and of that which is defiling. Okay? And so we talked about the different penalties of sin. We talk about different words that describe sin, such as abomination. Okay? We have the different statements that speak of the results of sin. You know, the Bible, again, is a revelation. Okay? Now, let me ask a question. What do you think when this person is gathering sticks on the Sabbath and they lose their life? Be honest with yourself. You say, boy, that's awful harsh. And you know, we do think that way. And you know what? It shows us that our thinking is wrong. Because now we are making a judgment decision against God. Right? We're saying God is harsh. And that tells us that our opinion of God is wrong. God isn't wrong. The Bible isn't wrong. But you know, when we come to that place in the Bible, we have to say, you know, there's something I don't understand. I don't understand something here. We have to say, number one, that. And number two, we have to say, I can't ever think wrongly of God. That's wrong. And number three, then we have to say, now, maybe there's something really wrong with my thinking that I think that way. Is that possible? Is that possible? I think it's possible, isn't it? What's wrong with my thinking that I think that way? In other words, I have something up here that's in my cranium, my computer, that is telling me God's wrong. Okay? So that means I got some thinking up here that needs to get out of there because it's wrong. And it needs to be replaced with truth. Okay? Now, obviously, everybody has to say, okay, Lord, I know my thinking's wrong. Forgive me. Okay, we got to be honest with God. That's where it has to start. But that doesn't solve the problem. The other part of the problem is, you know what? I don't understand the Bible. I don't understand the Bible well enough to be able to say, this is pure truth and this is holy. This is right. You understand what I'm saying? That means, boy, I got to do a lot of Bible study and a lot of thinking to get this brain changed around. Now, let me ask a question. So, is there defilement to sin? What do you think? There's defilement of sin, isn't there? And where do we get that defilement from? Okay? Good question, right? Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think you're going to get a good opinion of God from Hollywood? What do you think? What do you think? You're going to get a good opinion of God from Hollywood? Of course not. So when we have a bad opinion of God, we say, oh, I know I'm getting back meddling here. We say, oh, there's nothing wrong with these movies. Is there defilement? See, we're talking about capturing the minds of people today. That's the problem. People's minds have been captured and they have no idea where it came from. Oblivious. And you know, I think some of you would agree with me. If you have gone to university, you have been placed in your mind all of these negative thoughts about God and the Bible and what the Bible says. Wow. It's real. And you know what? We live in a day in which more and more Christians are sending their children to heathen universities. Must have gotten better. Okay? Different penalties. We talked about that. Certain sins have internal as well as societal results of sin. Certain thinking represented by actions is corrupting society. Okay? Certain sins against a culture will bring its downfall. We didn't talk about this last week, but let's go to Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, let me ask a question. Is there a breakdown of our culture? Whether you're going to agree with my conclusion or not, is there a breakdown in our culture? Is there? Yeah, there's a breakdown in our culture. Is there a breakdown in the roles of men and women? Yeah, there's a breakdown in the roles of men and women. Is there a homosexual invasion of society? Yeah. There is. Okay, now, I think when you look at this verse, you have to look at bigger than just what you see. You see, when God says you don't, when you start, God says you break down gender distinction, and that, everybody has to agree, this is principle, gender distinction. When you break down gender distinction, God says this is an abomination. Okay? Now, remember what I said about Chuck Coffey? He said, you know, if you break the boundary and you kill somebody, you can do it again. You see, there is an inward moral boundary that God puts. And when you break these boundaries, that's serious. And when a society starts breaking these boundaries, what happens? They don't know the boundary that they broke, and they don't know where they're going. You understand what I'm saying? They don't know the boundary they broke, and they don't know where they're going. They don't know where it will lead. You know, and Christians are the most ignorant of all. Christians have no idea where these things will lead. And you know what? That's true. Because we don't. And that's why we don't break barriers. That's why we don't break boundaries. Now I'm going to make a bold statement, and maybe it's wrong. But you know, in most Bible colleges today, and in Christianity, there is very little gender distinction. And number two, there is a lot of emphasis on things that aren't important, and especially sports. Now you mix sports and modesty, they don't go together. People who are big into sports don't get modesty. And you know what? I was big into sports. I understand why that is. I understand that. I've been there. Thank God. Somehow, you know, God used that to help me understand. There is something there. But you know, I think that the next epidemic is not going to be homosexuality in society. We already have it. The next epidemic is going to be homosexuality in churches and in Bible colleges. Why? We cross barriers. And you know what? It's only been 20 years that fundamental Baptists have cast out that barrier. You realize that? It's only been 20 years now, 25 years, that fundamental Baptists have cast out that barrier, that cultural barrier of gender distinction. Okay? So now you're going to have a new generation coming, right? That never had that in their thinking. Right? And then you're going to have the next generation that didn't even have parents who had that thinking. Where's that going to lead? Things don't happen by accident, folks. Things don't, and you know, the world says, oh, and Christians say, but I tell you what, you know, that word abomination in the Bible isn't there by mistake. It's not there by mistake. It is a big word. And it's saying that you're doing something that you shouldn't ever do. You know, thank the Lord for Mrs. Cook Day. Boy, you know, she understood modesty. And little Emily's been trying to be a blessing to little Hannah. And I don't remember the whole context, but just the last couple days. And so Hannah had to change or something. And she said, Emily, now don't look. Now don't look. Don't look. You know, here's a little, what, 6 years old? 6 years old. What a concept of modesty. You know what? That's normal. That's normal. You know, morality is learned from innocence, folks. Morality is learned from innocence. When you cross the barrier, something happens. I don't know what it is, but I know it happens. I tell you what, we have four girls. The last two never wore a pair of pants in their whole life. The first two, we were in the transition. And that transition came when they were about 7. But let me tell you what. There is a big difference between the two sets of girls in their response to, in their teenage years, of morality and modesty. Big difference. Big difference. You cross a barrier, you have no idea what the result will be. And God's grace is always sufficient. Praise the Lord. Amen. And God can make us pure even when we're impure. But we're talking about, you know, thinking. We're talking about children. We're thinking about knowing the real whole truth. Okay? And that's what we want for our children, don't we? We want for them what God has. And I guess what we're talking about, why are we talking about this? Because we're talking about what is the duty, how do you have a Christian home? You don't have a Christian home by having the label up there. The Christian home is the incorporation of Bible thinking. If we don't think like the Bible says, we can put as many titles as we want up there. But, and it might even be a born again home. But if it doesn't have the Bible, it isn't a Christian thinking home. And that's our duty. A Christian home. Think like the Bible. Think like God wants us to think. Okay, we have to stop. Lord, pray bless these truths in each of our hearts, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.